the junk piles in our cities. I am told that on the average, each of us discards 4 pounds of junk every day. At this rate, it is foreseen that by the end of this century, we shall all be standing on junk piles. The multitude of signs which choke many of our highways and engulf most of the approaches to our cities. Traffic and its constantly increasing volume, flow, and problems. Each year we produce twice as many automobiles as we do babies. The hearts of our cities are in sharp decline. Our slums. No historical association or patina of age can dignify these slums. They are a blight in the nation's capital, as slums are in any city, and all cities have them. I do not think that any number of monuments or green parks can ever compensate for a childhood in the slums. I think it is easy to understand that at times we feel overwhelmed by these problems. And yet, this is a nation whose people have always succeeded in doing what they really wanted to do. I think we can have the cities we want to have. And they might very well look like this. This is the new Southwest Washington. 56 acres, a complete community, and brand new. But only a few years ago, it was the worst slum in the city, and all the more shameful because it lay almost in the shadow of the Capitol. It was home to 23,000 people, one of the city's most crowded districts. 72% had no heat. 40% had no indoor plumbing. Then the people were relocated, the area razed. The new Southwest Washington has been called a model redevelopment. It is lived in by all income groups, all races. There is a variety of architecture which is pleasant to the eye. There are private homes, as well as apartments and high-rise buildings. Public housing is an important part of the area. It is an example of what can be done with planning and good taste, and it is a result of the cooperation of government and business. Much care has been taken to preserve those old homes which were worthwhile, some of them among the historic houses of the city. Southwest Washington is an example of a radical solution to slums. There are other solutions, like rehabilitation. This is Georgetown, the oldest part of Washington. It is one of the loveliest areas in the city, and it is hard to believe that little more than 30 years ago, it was run down and decayed. There was no redevelopment project here. Now with the house owners rich. They were merely people who wanted to live in a better neighborhood and were willing to work to make one. They painted, scraped, cleaned, and restored. And out of the decay, they brought out the old beauties of this graceful colonial village. Not every rehabilitation can produce a Georgetown, but so many rundown neighborhoods can be returned to useful and attractive life for those who live in them. The old Chesapeake and Ohio Canal is another example of rescue from decay.
This canal was begun in the year 1828. It took 22 years to build it 185 miles to Cumberland, Maryland. Since 1948, the National Park Service has been operating this mule-drawn barge trip along the canal. It flows right into the center of the city of Washington. This is indeed a very lovely way to spend a day.
Washington is fortunate in so many ways. The original plan envisioned small squares and circles and parks to form islands of green throughout the city. Today, there are 750 of them. Washington's greatest blessing is space. Great space which separates yet binds together, which rests and soothes and allows the mind either to enjoy what the eye sees or to turn inward for that greatest of all luxuries, true privacy. Not all of Washington's space was planned from the beginning. Let me show you. This is the George Washington Memorial Highway, the entrance to the capital city from the west. This is a magnificent entrance to the capital city because everything that this terrain produces is melded together. It takes advantage of the natural drama of the river, the rolling green hills of Virginia, steep palisades. It spreads out in beautiful panorama. In just a minute, we'll be at the area where you look down and see the city below you. I think everybody who drives this road must feel a little surge of pride. They are glad that somebody had the sense of aesthetics, the assurance that we are going on and on and on for the next generation and the next and the next, and we want to save it and remember those who will enjoy it in years to come. It's to so many people, the entrance to the city, the gateway, is a lasting impression, especially to foreigners coming in. Every city has that problem, what it looks like at the edges. In this instance, it has been solved over a period of years with a lot of planning and I'm sure a good deal of money. This is Memorial Bridge, perhaps the loveliest of Washington's many bridges. It's the gateway into the city from Arlington Cemetery to the Lincoln Memorial. A bridge of arches rises in the middle to let boats pass. To me, this is the most exquisite entrance to a city that I have seen. Many entrances to cities and others to Washington have not enjoyed that planning and foresight. But there is something else I want you to see. The largest natural park in any city in the world. This is Rock Creek Park, a broad ribbon of green extending through residential Washington. It was bought by Congress in the 1890s for a little over $1 million. One of the happiest investments from the standpoint of all the people who've lived in this part of Washington and who've enjoyed it all these years, for about 25 years. I traveled it a lot myself, usually bringing my husband to work in the mornings. It's done a great service to Washington. When you drive through it on your way to work, you arrive refreshed and cheerful, ready for the day, and you get home calm because it's beautiful, restful. It used to be our favorite summer diversion to come out on a Saturday afternoon with a basket full of lunch and bring our children and any of the neighborhood children. Spread lunch in one of the pretty little picnic areas, of which there are about 70. I remember many happy summer afternoons doing that. I'm sure there must have been terrific pressures as the population grew on the Park Service to sell it, make it available for homes, but I think preserving it has been a great treasure to the national capital. And you have to remember, it takes long lead time, that is, years in preparation for the future. Because back in the 1890s, goodness, that was more than 20 years before I was born. But I am enjoying this that was planned for and purchased at that time. And my children, and I hope my grandchildren and others will. What is more important than our children, and where and how they grow? So many are the things we all want for our children. Peace, most of all peace. Justice, equality, better standards of living, better education. We all know them. But isn't beauty also important? Thomas Jefferson wrote, "Communities should be planned with an eye to the effect made on the human spirit by being continually surrounded by a maximum of beauty." What can we do? Let me show you a few things we can do, things we are doing. Anyone can plant a flower. I have planted a few myself. It takes no special skill, and it does help. Youngsters enjoy doing this, especially if they plant close to home or where they go to school. Anyone can plant a tree, and a tree is a boon to all who see it, and a modest investment which pays back increasing dividends every year. In Washington, we are planting the many squares, circles, and triangles with flowers, shrubs, and trees which will bloom at various seasons. For the longest time possible, there will be color and life all over the city. Already, there have been more than 500,000 plantings. Many of the flowers and shrubs were donated. No one suggests that these plantings are a total solution, but they are a first step. Look at what a difference it can make. This is a model of how Central Washington might look in about 20 years. Pennsylvania Avenue is bordered by great and graceful structures, including government buildings, which will incorporate the best of architecture, as they must. There are many trees to afford shade and grace the outlook. The architects have planned to make the center of Washington a complete unit, fitting to the monuments which it holds. It's a plan, and there are many different opinions about it. Its importance lies in focusing attention upon what is universally recognized to be a problem, the center of Washington, and upon one of the most historic streets in our country, Pennsylvania Avenue. This is the south portico of the Treasury Building. Ahead of me is the White House. Behind me is the Capitol. This area is the heart of the Capitol City, and very much as it was planned in Washington's day. In 1805, President Jefferson rode in the first inaugural parade in the history of this nation and began a tradition. Ever since then, this has been our ceremonial avenue, the road of our triumphs and our celebrations, our inaugurations and parades, and our great funerals. It is the avenue which greets all our nation's foreign guests and gives them their first and often their lasting impression of our capital city. It is a part of Washington often seen on the world's screens and in the world's newspapers. It has now been declared a National Historic Site by the President. Surely this is a first step to the development of this area so that it can become what it always was intended to be, a ceremonial avenue as beautiful as any in the world, worthy of the great nation it must represent. The Mall is one of the world's most remarkable pieces of real estate. 2 miles long, 400 yards wide. No real lasting use has ever been made of it. Plans are being drawn to make full use of the great potential of this immense carpet as a park for recreation, a place for outdoor concerts and art exhibits. It is a monumental area. Yet the greater part of Washington is not monumental, but intimate, filled with the familiar comfort of homes, typical of no particular place except America. You will find streets like this one all over America, in any town and city. I think you can see it is well loved. I know it is, because for 18 years, my husband and I lived here, in that house. Linda and Lucy learned to ride a tricycle on this sidewalk. And when I think of the word home, the picture of this street flashes in my mind as much as any other home I've ever had, perhaps more. You have seen neighborhoods like this one in 1,000 different towns. Houses, lawns, and lovely big trees. A city is largely a collection of neighborhoods. Pleasant neighborhoods make for beautiful cities. You have seen something of what we are doing in Washington to make this a more beautiful city. I think that the next time you come to the nation's capital, you will have added reason to be proud. If everyone would plant a tree or some flowers and take a creative interest in what the plans are for the future of their hometown, its public buildings, schools, parks, streets, and housing, wouldn't we have a more beautiful country? The President has said, we must leave future generations a glimpse of the world as God really made it, not just as it looked when we got through with it. Surely, man, who has conquered the earth, can now learn to preserve it. Now it is evening, winding toward day's end. Only the most energetic tourists will persist in their sightseeing. For working Washington, the day is done, and now begins the nightly exodus. The next hour will be the second busiest in the Capitol's day. At the Marine Barracks, the buglers blow evening colors. At the Washington Monument, the flags are lowered, but only for the night. Does this hour draw toward its close? And there are so many things in this capital city which I have not been able to show you. Its great churches, its vast museums, its great universities. It is hopeless to see Washington in 1 hour, or even 1 day. I am not surprised that 9 million tourists come to see it every year. I have lived here much of my adult life, and I still come back to it from any trip with a feeling of joy and surprise that it is as lovely as I remembered. It changes with the hours. When it is touched by the edge of night, no Washington landmark is more beautiful than the Lincoln Memorial. Like all Americans, I love this Lincoln Memorial. There is a feeling of peace here, a sense of timelessness, which is fitting both to the place and to the great soul of Abraham Lincoln. It is designed as a temple, and that too is fitting. Through the years, it has been the temple of hopes and ideals, and a great source of strength to all Americans, even to those visitors who come from foreign lands. No wonder we love it. It is a great monument to one of our great presidents. And in a way, it is a monument to all mankind, which finds within itself the capacity to express such great ideas as reverence and honor and faith in its beautiful use of stone and marble and bronze. Even the location of this memorial is monumental. And not only because the Mall and the nearby Potomac and Memorial Bridge enhance it, but because its site is man-made. From here, the statue of Mr. Lincoln looks out over a Washington greatly changed since his day. All cities change. All cities must constantly change, but they need not grow ugly. There are people who say that considering the catalog of ills which beset us in this age, the problem of urban and country decay and ugliness is not so important. I cannot accept that. When I look upon this beautiful scene, I am refreshed. Trees and green grass give me a peace of spirit and of mind that little else can. This challenge of ugliness in our land is no small problem. It requires action on all government levels, but it also requires the will, the cooperation, the energy of you, the individual citizen. For it is the history of this land that whatever has been done was the citizen's doing. Other generations have left us these monuments, this beauty, which we admire, what will we leave to those who come after? Good night.